This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour number three is Sharp Money. Matt Brown in for Patrick. Adam Burke here on the desk with me. So we said happy Bobby Bonilla Day at the top of the program, and I know all of our friends up north are like, hey, what about happy Canada Day, eh? And yes, happy Canada Day, which is why we have the day game going on early up there. Everyone's it's a holiday in Canada. Everyone getting their Molson on up there a little bit earlier. They're Kokanee. People are going to like that I mentioned Kokanee. Labatt Blue. They're Labatt Blue on up there.
Alexander Keith's.
Is that also Canadian?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Never had one.
Get their ketchup chips on?
All dressed chips, yes.
Yes, they're ketchup chips, yep. and they're poutine. So that's what's going
poutine
on.
Poutine is so good.
It really is. Listen,
it's so good.
So I don't drink a ton of beer. I really do like Kokanee. I think it's a great. I really do like Kokanee. I think it's great. But the best thing to come out of Canada, for sure. I mean, for sure, it's poutine. And I don't know why we don't have poutine on like way more menus here.
I mean, it's the perfect dish for Americans to eat, right? It's just fries covered in gravy with cheese on top.
And cheese, this is what we do as Americans. Like, it's the most American Canadian thing that there is on the face of the planet. It's like, hey, give us fried food with cheese and gravy on it. Like, how do we make this thing that's totally terrible for you even more terrible for? Let's add cheese. And you know what else? Let's put gravy on top of that as well. It's like the most American thing there is, and why we don't have it on menus here is beyond me.
I have no idea. I will say Hopkins Airport in Cleveland is awful, but Bar Simon has a sausage gravy poutine that is outrageously good. If they still make it. I haven't been there in a few years. But it's outrageously good.
I mean, you know what? You have me like craving some poutine right now. This show, it's an odd time. It's an odd time, right? Like noon to 3 our time. So you can't really like eat lunch beforehand, but then it's long enough to where like now you've missed lunch and now we're talking poutine and I'm like, I got to find some poutine. Do they have poutine in this Bar Canada? This is Canada. Would they have poutine in this place? In the D?
I don't know. I can't even think of anywhere I've gotten poutine in town. Not here, though.
We're going to have to walk over to Bacon Nation and find out if they've got
poutine. Bacon Nation has it. That'd be great.
They're only open, like, 3 days a week, right? 4 days a week?
Is that what it is?
Really?
I've never been. Have you been? Why?
No, I've never been.
Bacon Nation?
I've never been.
And
either.
I love bacon.
No?
I've cheated the place.
We are watching a pitcher's duel over here in Canada. So happy Canada Day, as we said. It is 1-0 Houston on a solo shot by Jeremy Pena. I said Rodriguez was in for some regression there, Adam, and that's not the case. He's into the seventh inning now.
Yeah, he's shoving. He's pitching really, really well. And honestly, like I said, a guy that had faced 13 batters in 2 appearances since getting placed back on the active roster, and here he is pitching into the seventh. And look, I mean, you know, this is the thing about Houston. I mean, Hunter Brown's out there throwing a really good game, but you know, for Houston, it's been a weird season. Right? I mean, Kyle Tucker's kind of carried them offensively when he's been out there. He's been banged up here of late, but it's been a weird year for them. Like, their pitching kind of fell apart. A bunch of guys got hurt. Now their pitching's kind of come back. The offense is all over the place. I don't know. It kind of makes you think that at some point they're just going to figure it out and it's all going to click. And I know you got invested with that here recently. So
yeah, we also one of the big news things that weren't able to get to was the fact that the Celtics win the title. And then I guess they're going to sell off the team. This is the sell high, I suppose, for the owners of the Celtics, but it comes out that they are, in fact, going to sell the team a couple weeks after winning the finals. And so if you have a ton of money out there, if you are a multi-billionaire, you can go own the Boston Celtics if you want to.
Hearing that they could easily sell the team for over $5 billion, it's a good chunk of change.
It's a good chunk of change. What did they buy? They always tell you.
They bought it for $360 million in 2002.
That's a good return on investment.
That's a great return on investment.
This is something that, man, I wish we would have bought the Celtics for $360 million back then and we're selling them for $5
billion. I just wish I had $360 million.
In the first place. You wouldn't spend it on a team.
No.
You would just be on an island somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't find me.
It'd be the last you ever saw of Adam Burke. It'd be donezo.
I would have places all over the world.
You're like, I don't need these I don't need these survivor sweats. I'm on my island. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, I'd be good. I'd be good with that.
NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. It is something else that I wrote up for the guide, and so did you. And we went off the off the reservation a little bit here because we didn't go with the favorites. We didn't go with Caleb Williams. We didn't go with Jaden Daniels. We didn't go with Marvin Harrison. I went down, and I'm like, okay, it's a quarterback award, or at least they want to give it to a quarterback. And so who can I go with that is at least going to be guaranteed to start from day one? I know there's been rumblings coming out of Denver that maybe Bo Nix won't start from day one. I don't believe it. If you listen to our very own Michael Lombardi, who says he knows Sean Payton pretty well, and if Sean Payton was lobbying to go and draft Bo Nix in the first round, he is going to go with his dude. And so I looked at Bo Nix and the odds attached to him, and as I explained in the guide, you don't have to love Bo Nix as a player. It's the opportunity that has been given to him. They want to give this to a quarterback, and if it's going to be a three-way race between him and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, because we've now found out that J.J. McCarthy apparently is not going to be starting in Minnesota, and neither is Drake May in New England, if you believe the beat writers who are very well plugged into those teams, then it is a three quarterback race between Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams, and I'm getting 3x the odds on one of those three quarterbacks that is going to be given the same opportunity as the other two quarterbacks. And so for me, it's just a numbers play. It's an odds play. I don't have to like Bo Nix. I actually don't like Bo Nix. I thought it was crazy that he went in the first round. I watched Bo Nix play a ton when he was at Auburn. I couldn't believe that this guy had played his way into a first-round grade, but here we are, and again, I'm getting 3x the odds on Jaden Daniels, and I'm getting more than that, obviously, on Caleb Williams, who's only plus 135. That's why I went that direction, again, not because I'm in love with Bo Nix as a player.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, 8 of the last 10 offensive rookie of the years have been first-round picks. 7 of those 8 were top 10 picks, so awareness about a player kind of seems to help in this market. So that's why, you know, you do get a Caleb Williams, a Jaden Daniels, a Marvin Harrison Jr., at such low prices relative to some of these other guys that are out there. The other thing I think is important to point out here is that team success isn't necessarily a prerequisite. 4 of the last 10 years, you've had teams that have been division winners, so 6 of the last 10 have not been, and those teams really haven't made the playoffs. I think 5 of the 10 have made the playoffs, I believe it was, when I wrote up this article. So really it's about opportunity, right? It's about being able to play, being able to put up numbers, and if Payton and the Broncos are going to go with Nix from the jump, then that makes some sense. 4 of the last 10 have been quarterbacks. You got 3 running backs, 3 wide receivers in the mix. I actually went down the board a little bit. And even with, you know, 6 first-round quarterbacks, 7 first-round wide receivers, I mentioned this already when we talked about Josh Allen in the MVP market. Stephon Diggs is gone. Gabe Davis is gone. 30 of Buffalo's 66 red zone targets from last season have moved on, right? And Diggs is a guy who had over 600 targets in his time with the Bills. Someone's going to have to catch passes. I think it'll be Keon Coleman. I think right away from the jump, Allen and Coleman are going to have a really, really good rapport. If the Bills are good enough to knock off the Dolphins, knock off the Jets, win that AFC East, I think Keon Coleman is going to be one of, if not the best, of this crop of rookie wide receivers. So I think at 25-1, it makes sense because the opportunity is there for him.
Yeah.
He's going to get the red zone targets because who the hell else is going to get them? Dawson Knox, is he going to get like all of them? Possibly. But I just think that, you know, Buffalo's in a position where they need a wide receiver, one, to emerge, and I think Coleman's going to be the guy right away.
Yeah, no, I do too. I don't think that they went out and really addressed that position to have anyone else step up and have that number one role, so I think it will be Coleman for sure. I guess my only – and listen, the price attached to him is worth a – it's worth a play
and
anyway,
and it
right?
was better earlier in the offseason. It was like 50-1.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where if you look at the number attached, that's the difference here. I do think it'll be tough to leapfrog 3 quarterbacks for a wide receiver, but if there is a guy whose opportunity is just glaring, it certainly would be him. And I know people would say, well, what about Marvin Harrison? And I think it's fair, I guess, to say, you know, Marvin Harrison, but I think the difference there is just the fact I think Harrison is going to get so much attention in this offense because they have nothing, man. Like, that Cardinals team just has nothing at the wide receiver position. And so I think it's going to be much easier for Keon Coleman to actually have, like, those counting sets. Because you have to account for Kincaid as well in that offense, like, who stepped up. He was really, really great as a rookie. I do believe that Harrison is going to see, like, veteran wide receiver one respect whenever they play, because they're going to be like, all right, beat us with all these other no names if you want to. Like, if that can happen, good for you, but I'm not going to let you beat us with this guy. So I actually think he's going to – I think his numbers and these projections and stuff like that, I think are a tad bit high on him for what I believe teams are going to do to scheme against this Cardinals team.
Well, and look, I mean, Caleb Williams is obviously set up for success, but, I mean, he's in a major media market, a lot of scrutiny with expectations. And also, I mean, at USC, he didn't play in a whole lot of bad weather. Yeah. You know, and we'll see what the weather situation looks like in Chicago as the season goes along. But, like, and there's no way I would invest in anybody at plus 135 in a market like this. Not to mention, the NFC North is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And you look at Jaden Daniels. I mean, the Giants aren't great, but they're certainly a team that could step up a little bit if Daniel Jones is healthy. Malik Nabers is a really nice piece to add there. But, like, Jaden Daniels, I mean, the skill guys in Washington are fine, but they don't stand out a whole lot. As you mentioned, McCarthy's probably not even going to start. Like, all of a sudden, you get to Knicks where the Chiefs are exceptionally good. We don't know that the Chargers are going to be that great and really live up to expectation with Harbaugh coming in. And the Raiders, I mean, I'm not scared about an Aiden O'Connell-led Raiders team. Like, it is set up for Knicks and the Broncos to possibly have some success, maybe be a wild card type of team. Whereas I think the path is much more difficult for Williams and Daniels. And while this isn't an award predicated on team success, it certainly helps when you talk about people voting on these things.
No, I'm with you. I think everyone just looks at this and goes like, oh, well, there's Moore and Allen and Adunze. That's just going to equal success. And it's like, man, it's still a rookie quarterback in a pretty tough division. So I don't think this is just like, oh, we're going to anoint Caleb Williams as the rookie of the year. So, again, if you're going to give me 15x the odds on another guy who's going to have equal opportunity, I will take the 15x odds as opposed to the plus 135 when it all comes down to all that. We'll update you on the baseball game that is going out there. We'll take a look at a couple of baseball games that are still to come.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Oh, man. I'm not soccer guy. Sharp Money here. Matt Brown, Adam Ferg. We'll tell you about VSIN Pro here in just a second. But everyone on the interwebs was talking about how washed Ronaldo is and had a chance to win this game on a PK. Adam rejected in the 104th minute. Rejected on the PK.
I will tell you how much of a soccer guy I am. I was at Aria the other night. Wife was there for a friend's birthday dinner.
Okay.
I didn't go to the dinner, but I was hanging out and, you know, went down there and just kind of hung out a little bit. Neymar walked by. Had no idea who he was. Everyone else is, like, chasing him around and everything else. So that's how much of a soccer guy I am.
Neymar in town to play the World Series of Poker. That's why he is here. He has had a long-standing sponsorship with PokerStars, and so he's here to play some World Series of Poker events.
Did not know that.
I thought
he was still – does he not play soccer anymore?
I don't think so.
I definitely thought you were messing with us because I thought he was here in Vegas for the Copa America, right?
No. He's here to play some poker. He's been seen at a bunch of the at a couple of different tournaments and a couple of the actual high-dollar games as well. Some of the cash games that are going on out there. So Neymar in for
are you playing anything? Do you ever play anymore?
I go play on occasion. Specifically this time of year is a great time to go play because there's a lot of people in town that are not all that great.
I've heard that about the rodeo too.
Yes. Rodeo's good. World Series of Poker time is good. So you just got it. Yes.
So for Neymar.
Yes.
He tore his ACL October, it looks like it said. So he's rehabbing to get his way back.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Sure.
But he does still play.
Yes. He was on the.
Is he good?
I think he was on the Saudi team with Ronaldo.
Is he crying?
Wait a minute. Halftime of extra time?
Yeah. You do two. I think in international soccer, you do two different two halves of overtime.
I will take your word for it. Is Neymar good at poker?
The keeper just knew exactly what he was doing. And he started his little run like he was about to run to the, you know, they always run to the flagstick and like just and do the slide and the whatever. And he had started the run. He is crying. Is he crying? Ronaldo's crying?
No crying in soccer.
There's all the crying in soccer. Actually, that's all there is in soccer is crying. It's actually, it would actually be more shocking if he was just straight faced and not crying. Like it's that would shock me a little bit more than the fact that he is crying out there. Neymar has he's made it deep into a few different tournaments and stuff like that. I mean, I think it's one of those deals that if you do it long enough with poker, you can at least pick up on some of the nuance and some of the things, you know. I'm sure just the time spent at the table has made him just a little bit better. I know I can't get past without telling you guys that we do have 13 months for the price of 12. If you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, $199, VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. And with that, again, not just the 12 months for $199, but we're going to give you 13 months for springing on into summer. That's what we're going to say here. We're springing on into summer with these special go on all the stuff that we do. Absolutely. You get the video feed as well. You can see what we look like. You can see what this all looks like.
How much is that in Canadian dollars?
207-ish.
Okay.
I'm making that up. I don't know. I haven't done a bunch of the currency conversion here.
You should have brought it back for Canada Day.
I know. I should have done it. Sorry, Canada. We'll let you know next segment.
Yeah,
next segment we will have a conversion for you on all that. So we do have the Mets and the Nationals here in just a little bit. Only three games in Major League Baseball today, as you said. So they had to load up Thursday, so we get a light Monday. That's what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, they want everyone to play on the July 4th holiday.
Still just 1-0 Astros, by the way, over the Jays. That being said, -395 if you want the Astros, +280 if you want the Blue Jays. Again, just down just one run. In that one, David Peterson and the Mets up against Mackenzie Gore and the Nationals. -120 Mets on the road, even money. Nationals at home. James Wood Day for people in Washington. You've been sitting there. You've been watching him absolutely just go scorched earth on minor league baseball pitching. I mean, Adam, some of the stuff that he's doing down there, if you guys have not paid attention, the reason this is such a big deal, hitting .353 with a .463 on base, 10 homers, 16 doubles. He has walked 40 times and struck out 42 times. So nearly as many walks as strikeouts. And, oh, by the way, he's also chipped in 10 stolen bases as well. Everybody says this guy could be a huge, huge, huge superstar. It's why it's such a big thing on a day like today.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a phenomenal player, to be sure. I mean, the prospect pedigree is definitely there. He's hit at every level, which is really, really important because, you know, sometimes you'll have guys that just tear up the low minors, and they get to the double-A, triple-A level against veteran guys that actually have a plan. They know how to pitch. They know how to attack hitters. You really want to see how guys are able to adjust to that. And he has a 17% walk rate in triple-A, where you got some guys who are close to the major leagues and some guys who have pitched in the major leagues. So, you know, you have guys that know how to attack hitters, and Wood has performed very, very well. He's always been young for his age level as well. He doesn't turn 22 until September. He's also a mammoth human being, 6'7", 230 pounds, prolific power. It's a very good day to be a Washington Nationals fan and see this guy finally make it to the big league level.
Mackenzie Gore, a touted prospect in his own right, there on the hill today for the Nationals. 8.5 is our total. I don't have a play in this one. Like I said, it was on the Astros earlier. We're just clinging onto this one-run lead, so we'll see if we get home on that one. I don't have a play in this one, Adam, but I am going to obviously tune in to see what Wood can do.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the reason why this line is where it is, even though David Peterson, his advanced metrics don't look very good, as Will Hill alluded to earlier, and expected ERA in the 6 range, it's that the Mets are a top 5 offense against lefties, and over the last 30 days, they have been far, far, far and away the best offense in baseball against left-handed pitching. And Gore has struggled a little bit here of late, had some issues with his control, had some issues with his command. So because the Mets have been so successful against lefties here, because they've been playing a lot better of late as well, that's why they are a road favorite in this spot. But I thought about the over. You know, the Nationals are just not a good offensive team overall, but and they get James Wood in here. Peterson has some regression signs. Thought about the over. A little bit of a warm day in D.C., but ultimately didn't get to a play in this one.
So our late game is the Brewers and the Rockies, and I did have to go in and make sure that this was the case. So the Brewers are going to head to the thin air there in Colorado. They are 155 favorites over the Rockies, plus 130 if you like the home team as a dog, 11.5 inflated line as you always get there up in Colorado. Austin Gomber for the Rockies, but Rob Zastrzynski, Zastrzyny for the Brewers. I went and I looked it up, and I'm like, why have I never heard of this dude whenever I see that he's like a billion years old? And it's like, I don't know what happened. We're going to have to look up on this. So he played 2016, 2017, 2018, and then it comes back and he didn't play again in the majors until 2022, in which he only had a couple of innings pitched. And then 2023, he just had 20 innings pitched in the majors as well, Adam. So it looks like we had a guy that, I mean, maybe he went to Japan or something or whatever or something. I don't know, but he's not a rookie or anything. Really, never heard of him. Not a rookie. He played 2016, 2017, 2018, and then a giant gap, and then has only had a handful of innings in the major since then as well.
Yeah, so Rob Zastrzyny is apparently how you pronounce this. He's the best pitcher name to use in the game of Scrabble in all of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
A guy that kind of really bounced around the minor leagues for the most part here. He has stayed stateside, wasn't a guy that went and played in Japan or anything like that. He's the opener for Bryce Wilson here today. So the plan for the Brewers, and they're good at leveraging this. Jared Koenig's been an opener for them several times. They're good at doing this. You try to get through the top of the lineup one time, then you go to the starter and Wilson. I actually like Colorado's team total over 2.5 for the first five in this game. It's the only play I had for today. It is a bit juicy at minus 130. Wilson is a guy that has a lot of negative regression signs in the profile. A guy that's got a 389 ERA, 465 expected ERA, 489 FIP. He's a cutter-sinker guy. And a lot of his pitches are middle-middle. He's gotten away with a lot of pitches in the middle of the zone here so far this season. If you're going to be middle-middle in Colorado, that's going to be a problem. And also, his pitches aren't going to move as much as they typically do. And he's not a great command guy, doesn't miss a lot of bats. Makes sense to start Zastrzyny here in this one for the Brewers, but still, I think Colorado's able to scratch out some runs here early in this game. Team total over 2.5 for the first five. The only play I have today with the Rockies.
We were talking about trying to hold that 1-0 lead here for the Astros. Not looking great. Hunter Brown did go six innings, only two hits against, five Ks for him. So that kind of, like we said, Adam, the overall stats for Brown are not indicative of the Brown that they're sending to the hill right now. Really good last six, seven, eight starts for him. Montero gets the hold, but Abreu in there right now and is now giving up a couple of hits. Two on, one out, second and third for the Blue Jays as we try to hold on to this 1-0 lead here.
And this Houston bullpen has been awful throughout long stretches of the season, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in, playing catch-up against Seattle.
Zach Cohen going to join us here when we come back, talk all things tennis, see if there's any Wimbledon bets to be made.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, we got a shiny website over there. I'm not going to say new anymore. It's not new. But what it is, it might be new to you if you've never been to VSIN.com, VSIN.com. You can pull it up on your browser of choice and even on your mobile phone. And if you do pull it up on your mobile phone, guess what? We made it incredibly mobile friendly. It works seamlessly. Go in, click around, see what you like, and then you might even become a VSIN Pro subscriber along the way. But we do have the odds that are set up by your state, which is really, really great. The betting tools. And, of course, we've got some articles on there that are free as well. Not everything is behind the pay. Also, come in, check things out over at VSIN.com, VSIN.com. We got out of the jam. Still 1-0 Astros. I mean, I knew it all along, Adam. You could tell how confident I was that we were gonna win this.
That Houston bullpen's been an issue all season long and almost was again.
Almost was again, but they weren't. And so we just got to get through three more outs to cash this here ticket. And we're still 0-0 in this soccer game in which we just saw a penalty kick get blocked. So 0-0, just riveting. Riveting the grass hockey. I mean, seriously, just riveting. I can't tell you. I love it so much.
The field looks great, though.
Yeah. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Zach Cohen. He's a writer and editor over at VSiN.com, at Betting on X, over on the Twitter machine. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing well. I mean, we know you. I mean, you get into the you dabble in the tennis streets. You get into the niche sports. Do you do the soccer? Do you do the NASCAR? Do you do any other niche stuff out there?
I watch a lot of soccer, but I don't bet it. I watch a lot of Premier League. I was watching that Belgium game before. I'm not watching this one right now, though.
Look at that. All right. Man of many talents out there. You can ask him about anything, but we're going to ask you about Wimbledon. And let's talk, because this is something that I think a lot of people, when it comes to tennis, get a little bit intimidated when it comes to betting tennis, because you guys will put out bets. And it's not always just outright bets. I mean, I think it's one of those things where people look and you realize pretty quick, you see, man, this guy's minus 1,700 against this person, or this guy's, you know, minus 850, and it might turn off a lot of bettors in tennis. But what are some of the other ways that people can go about betting these matches on a day-to-day basis so that you're not having to lay these incredible – because, there's a lot of mismatches in tennis, there just is. And so, like, how else could they go about tackling some of these matches without having to lay the crazy, crazy juice?
Yeah, I'm almost never involved in these ones with these crazy lopsided odds. But if you did want to do it, I mean, if you liked a player that was minus 1,700 or something like that, like the best way would probably be to take them, you know, minus 2.5 sets on the men's side to take them to win in straights. That's a really risky play, especially on grass courts where, you know, it's really easy to hold serve and just kind of get late into a set really fast, which we saw today with Jannik Sinner, who dropped a set in a match that he really wasn't supposed to. But yeah, that's why I stay away from those. But I do actually have an underdog against Iga Swiatek tomorrow, and I'm not playing the traditional spread or total. I'm taking the over 5.5 games with Sofia Kenin against Swiatek, which is a player prop offered, you know, at DK, which it's a good way to bet on these matches as well.
Zach, I know the tournament's already underway, but what were you looking at in terms of the futures market for players to win the tournament?
There's actually one that I still really like. Madison Keys on the women's side is available at plus 1,800. I gave it out at, I believe, plus 2,200. She was on the side of Aryna Sabalenka, who was the betting favorite to win this tournament and ended up withdrawing with a shoulder injury. I liked it actually before that. So now you take the best player out of the equation. I think that there's a really good chance the Keys ends up going on to win. She's 46-15 on grass in her career, has had a really good season. Her winning percentage is the highest it's been in quite some time. She's a player with a big serve, a big, powerful game from the baseline. She moves really well, just has always played really well on faster conditions. So I think the grass is a really good, you know, surface for her. And I do think that Wimbledon is where you tend to see, you know, breakout champions. And I think the Keys is a player that kind of made a run last year at the U.S. Open, made it to the semifinals, where she blew a match against Aryna Sabalenka. Well, without that player in her way, I think she has a real chance of winning the tournament.
Zach, over on the men's side, rarely do we see Novak Djokovic with two guys above him on the odds stand, but here we are, plus 175 for Sinner, 240 on Alcaraz, and then we got 4-1 there on Djokovic, knowing he's been dealing with all the stuff that he's been dealing with off of the court. How concerned are you for Djokovic, and would you be surprised if he went on and won this thing?
I'm very concerned about Djokovic, and I would be very surprised if he did win. He has a really easy draw, which definitely helps. Like, the first two rounds for him are going to be probably cakewalk wins for him. Maybe he's coming off surgery 3 weeks ago, a torn meniscus, and I do think that there was a lot of speculation that he would miss this tournament, but he ended up rushing himself back. He wanted to play. He's won this tournament 7 times in his career. He is the best grass court player potentially, you know, in this field for sure, and one of the best grass court players of all time. But I just have a lot of doubts about him on that knee, especially considering he was struggling before the knee injury. He's not having a good 2024 season. His serve has gotten a lot worse than it was last year. Having said that, I do think he'll be in the third round. He'll play a pretty good player there, either Karen Khachanov or Holger Rune. He probably should win those matches. I think he'll have some trouble, but once we get later in the tournament, I would expect him to be bounced by a good player.
So for those that don't know, Zach covers tennis pretty much on a daily basis for us over at vsin.com, so you can get his daily best bets, and I very much encourage everyone to go and check that out. But Zach, NBA free agency here today as well. A lot of news dropping in that regard, and you wrote something up about Paul George joining the 76ers over at vsin.com. What are your takes on that, and do you think there's any futures value left in the Sixers?
It's hard to say to take these teams because they still have to play against the Celtics, but I do think the Sixers are going to be a team that will be in the Eastern Conference Finals as long as those guys can avoid injury. That does make them hard to bet on as well. You know, Embiid and George are two guys that are very injury prone, but I do really like what they did in grabbing George. They got Kelly Oubre Jr. back on a relatively cheap deal. They added Eric Gordon. They added Andre Drummond, which I also thought was really big because Embiid's obviously going to miss some time. Drummond is one of the best backup bigs in the league. But in George, you're getting one of the best two-way wings in the entire league. And I know a lot of people want to say a four-year contract is a little too long for a player that's 34 years old. But he was a top 10 player in the league last year, according to estimated plus minus. He's still an elite player on both ends of the floor. He's going to take a lot of pressure off both Maxey and Embiid on both ends of the floor. Now they have a defensive stopper on the wing on that defensive end. I just think they're going to be a lot better on both ends of the floor. Nick Nurse is a really good coach. So I definitely think that that move vaulted them into that contender, you know, category, especially in the Eastern Conference. They let, you know, they leapfrogged the Knicks, they leapfrogged the Nuggets, they leapfrogged the Thunder and the betting odds to win the championship. Now you have them right behind the Celtics. So it was a really nice move for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing them play.
Zach, we get the news that LeBron calls Klay Thompson, I assume, to make some sort of pitch to join him with the Lakers, and then we find out that he actually turns down more money to head to Dallas and join the Mavericks, 3 years, $50 million for Klay Thompson. We were talking and saying, like, you know, look, if there's anything left in the tank at all, it could be an interesting move because we know Kyrie can get to the rim, and if they collapse on him, they can kick it out to Klay Thompson. If he can hit some of these open threes, the fact that but my problem is he hasn't been able to do that here over the last couple of seasons. How do you feel about this move? Do you think that Dallas is a good landing spot for him, and do you think that there is anything left in the tank?
I actually do. I thought that Klay had a better year than people think, especially towards the end of last season. He really started to play a lot better once they moved him into that bench role. I think he's going to be in the starting lineup for the Mavericks. He's going to feast on good looks that Luka and Kyrie are going to create for him. But, you know, the real reason I like it is that he pretty much replaced Tim Hardaway Jr., a guy that was unplayable in the postseason, with Klay, who is definitely going to be able to shoot roughly 40%. He's still a decent defender. He's not what he once was. But he's still, yeah, a solid player, good size, really good shooter. They added some nice pieces with that while not losing a lot. I know they lost Derek Jones Jr., but he wasn't in that different of a place as Najee Marshall was, who they just signed for 3 years, $27 million before he got to Dallas. That's a good, really good wing defender, a guy that's a little bit inconsistent as a shooter, but with the looks that Luka's going to create for him, Marshall's going to knock down some shots. I think he's going to end up actually outplaying Derek Jones Jr., who signed that 3 year, $30 million deal with the Clippers. So I really just look at it as a, you know, Derek Jones Jr. went out the door, but, you know, Klay and Marshall both came in. I think that that helps them as a rotation.
Zach, we got about a minute left. Are there any under the radar signings that have kind of moved the needle for you, or any players you think that are still available that could move the needle for you?
I will say, I wrote it down. I didn't really know if you were going to ask me to bring it up. I do think that Christian Braun is a player that I'm looking at in terms of the most improved player market. I know it's really early for that. Those awards are not even up. But the Nuggets did lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He signed a big deal with the Orlando Magic. I think that Braun is going to play roughly 25 to 30 minutes a game for the Nuggets, who continue to say really good things about what they like about Braun, what he brings to the game on both ends of the floor. They kind of talked him up when they said that we're probably going to lose Caldwell-Pope this summer, but we think that Braun can step up, play starter minutes. He has always contributed when he does play, you know, 30-plus minutes. He plays really well off the Joker. So I do think that Braun is a player that was kind of a sneaky winner of free agency, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. It was not a player that moved teams, but something that I think is relevant in terms of the awards markets.
He is Zach Cohen, writer, editor over at VSiN.com, at Betting on X on the Twitter machine. Zach, appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Two-run shot by Yordan Alvarez makes this a little bit easier for me here. 3-0. 3-0 bottom of the ninth.
It does. And I got to say, on that last point that Zach made, we don't talk about that enough. The opportunity it creates for somebody when a player leaves, who may even be an upgrade for that roster, maybe that does help Denver.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is that. There's something about the makeup of that Denver team that I just don't love a ton. But we'll see. I mean, they still have the best player on the planet, in my opinion. We'll put a bow on this edition of Sharp Money when we come back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know you want to be the smartest guy at the water cooler. Someone's going to start bringing up football because it's basically football season. When all the other sports are done, it's basically football season. Someone's going to bring it up and say, you know what? You know who I like this year? And they're going to start spouting all some nonsense. You're going to say, no. That's not why you like them. I'm going to tell you why you like them, and you have all that information that you just got from the VSiN NFL betting guide. Go in, VSiN.com/guide. We have a preview of every single one of the teams. Be the smartest guy in your office. Be the smartest guy on your text list. Go in, tail our bets, and win some money over the course of the season as well. VSiN.com/guide. We get it home. Josh Hader does give up a solo dong to Ernie Clement. Whoever Ernie Clement is, Ernie Clement.
Cleveland Indians legend, Ernie Clement.
Yes, does give up the solo dong there in the bottom of the ninth, but fortunately, there was some insurance runs there on a Yordan Alvarez two-run homer. So there we go. We do get one home. I don't know if I've ever been able to get a winner home that you were able to talk about before the show and then have it be home by the end of the show. Like, that just doesn't happen.
The pitch clock is so amazing.
Good job on the pitch clock. I know, seriously. The game starts right when we come on air, and we get a win as we go off air. That's pretty great.
That was a very, very fast. You know, as that game was going along, I was like, oh, is this a getaway day game? And then you reminded me it was Canada Day. But they played it like it was a getaway day game.
Yeah, they were in
and out. 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Oh, that's a thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. Another thing that's a thing of beauty is being Jason Tatum and being Jason Tatum's agent. Because as it comes through, max deal for Jason Tatum. Remember, this is on the extension of White as well. Jason Tatum gets $63 million a season to play basketball for a living. Adam, it is good to be Jason Tatum when you're getting $315 million guaranteed to you.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. You wonder what that does to the valuation of the Boston Celtics, who are apparently for sale.
Well, we're reading into this a little bit, and I don't think we're too far off on this, where if you're going to sell a team and you're trying to flip your $360 million into $5 billion, a buyer's going to come in and go, yeah, I'm buying this, but like these two stars could leave in a couple of years, and then what am I buying? Well, they extend White. They extend Tatum, and now you go to potential buyer and you say, hey, Wyatt, you've got the $5 billion that I'm looking for, and guess what you get for that $5 billion? You get these guys for multiple years as well, so you have the pillars of a good team for several seasons. You're not just going to be buying something that could be dismantled here in a couple of years.
I love it.
Your $5 billion.
$5 billion.
We're letting you buy this team for $5 billion.
Well, first I'm going to buy the Milwaukee Bucks because I don't like the Celtics. But, I mean, Jason Tatum has proven now that he is one of the elite players in the game. Jaylen Brown, I think, is very underrated. They got Drew Holiday, who I think was a good piece that kept everybody together. This is a Celtics team that is set up for a lot of winning down the line.
Portugal advances in the Euros, if you were wondering. They had to go to penalty kicks to do it, but they do advance, so Portugal moves on. 3-0 on penalty kicks. Slovenia missed all three of their penalty kicks. All three of them.
I don't know what you want me to add to that. I don't know.
I want you to say that how ridiculous it is that guys can't go up and three professional soccer players can't at least go 33% on penalty kicks.
The net is really big, too.
I know you're going to miss PK sometimes, but the fact that they went 0-3, that's why you're Slovenia. I'm just going to assume they're not very good.
That's a live look of how I play FIFA with penalty kicks. If you don't know how things are going, that's usually how my video
is. Is FIFA tough to make penalty kicks?
When I first played, yeah.
Oh, now you're really good at it?
I played 1 year.
Do you play online against like 13-year-olds who talk trash to you and like just call you virgin and stuff like that?
No. I do play online of MLB The Show, which you cannot talk to people. The only time you can communicate is via text, not text, messages and whatnot. So every now and then I'll get somebody who tell me that I suck or whatnot.
Some of the computer game highlights of people playing, and you can talk because they all wear headsets and they talk. Some of those are some of the most classic videos ever. Like some of the greatest things I've ever watched in my whole life.
My generation, we grew up Modern Warfare 2 lobbies. Those were some tough.
It's a tough crowd.
Tough crowd. That wasn't very PG. Those were the days.
It was lit, as you kids say.
Yeah, it was lit.
It was lit. It was lit, Adam.
Man, I miss those days.
I've never played video games online.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I haven't done the whole video game thing. I'm sure people care about our video game stuff, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to actually have to buy a video game system And all because they're coming back out with the college football game. I think it's happening in like a month and a half or something.
This month.
Yeah, it's July 25th, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
So in the next 3 weeks, I have to buy a gaming system.
Yeah, John Goulet was very upset. He thought he could get away with his old PS4, but they came out and said,
PS4. Yeah. Like 2 years old or whatever it is.
What is it? They have a 5 now?
Yes, PS5.
That's what you have to buy. Yeah, that's what you have to buy.
And I don't know what the Xbox version is called now, but I'm a PlayStation guy. But yes, I am looking forward to that. I might have to call in sick a couple days for college football.
It was all consuming for me whenever I was younger. And it was like taking LSU to like 37 consecutive national championships. It was like the only thing that made me happy. And always get in, like, if you missed out on a 5-star, do you remember how mad you would be whenever you'd already signed 14 5-stars, which never happens in real life, but you'd miss out on the 15th 5-star and you'd be like, game's rigged. Like, game was rigged against me.
Or do you remember when they would do the generated players? Some, like, if you missed out on a guard, you didn't have enough guard depth, you would get a guy who's like a 40 overall, would be like 6'1, 240. And be like, okay, what the heck happened here? That and also, I always ran, like, you know, the power offense. I could never get a fullback to save my life. That was the toughest position to recruit.
I can get a used PS5 for $310 on eBay. So
much is a new one?
It's not as bad as I thought. I mean, I'm gonna guess they must be like $500 then. If the used one is $300.
Have you remember those commercials? I usually see them during Monday Night Football. It's like, I bought this PS5 for only $5 and this grill for like.
Yeah. I don't believe those people. Yeah, I know. It's like those like reverse auctions or something, or whatever they are, or something like that. Yeah, I don't buy into that. I don't believe it. We did talk a little bit earlier about the AFC North, and I do kind of want to swing back around over there, Adam. So were there any bets that actually made your account so far after you did the research?
The AFC North? Look, I mean, the division is so strong that, you know, it's little things here and there that can kind of throw off, you know, the balance of everything.
Yeah, division of death, copyright infringement. I mean, if anybody else says that, copyright infringement.
It's so good. I do think that I could talk myself into a Browns under ticket for their season win total just because I'm not a believer in Watson. And also, I mean, that defense got exposed by C.J. Stroud. Yeah. Like, nobody really challenged that defense down the field until that playoff game, and they got completely exposed. And I get it, like, Myles Garrett rushing the passer. Like, maybe you don't always have a ton of time to throw the ball down the field. But I think that NFL teams are starting to come around more to a more vertical passing attack. You know, a lot of it has been the college offense of get the ball out quick, get it in space, all those kinds of things. Yeah. Like, now we're starting to get more quarterbacks that can actually throw the ball down the field with some level of proficiency. And that was a little bit of a blind spot in Jim Schwartz's defense. So I think I could talk myself into that. Also, if the Steelers were to tell me that Justin Fields was starting, I think I could talk myself into over their win total. But I agree with the heavy vig on the under for right now if Russ is going to be the first guy.
The two things we didn't mention when we're talking about this division and just the MVP market in general. Is there a world that exists where Burrow wins at 9-1? Yeah, so I'm fine with that. They're not going to give it to Lamar again. So, like, you don't want to put in a 14-1 on Lamar. And if you did, even like we said, their schedule's super hard at the beginning of the year. So, like, just wait to put that in as it is anyway on Lamar. And they are never, ever giving an MVP to Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson would have to throw for 8,000 yards and 75 touchdowns. And even then, he might come in second because it's voted on by humans. And, you know, some stuff that happened off the field. I don't know if you guys remember or not. And he's not going to get very many first-place votes.
No, he will not have the court of public opinion in his favor.
Yeah, so just, again, unless you're envisioning a 7,500-yard, 75-touchdown season, I would not put in anything on Deshaun Watson.
No, I mean, they need to add a couple zeros to his odds.
Yeah, seriously. You get a bigger number on Russell Wilson. Like, they will 100% give it to Russell Wilson before they would ever give it to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Like, 100%. It's just crazy.
Well, that's not only that. He is DraftKings has him 22-1 in comeback player of the year. There's no way.
No.
Absolutely no way.
Zero chance. None that they will ever give that to him. Zero chance.
Yeah, no.
So just that there's our pro tip. We had to start doing pro tips again, which is like factor in human opinion on some of these people who have had off-the-field shenanigans and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because those votes are not going their way. That's never happening. There's definitely your pro tip. Have you all been doing pro tip? Have you been doing them? I did it.
Don't bet non-QBs in the
MVP. There's the pro tip of the day. Mets Nationals still coming your way. Minus 120 Mets. Even money on the Nationals. Brewers Rockies a little bit later. Minus 162 Brewers on the road. Good luck on all your bets here on a Monday.